Good morning, everyone. We've been going through, for those who don't know, we've been going through a series within Matthew and looking at the Beatitudes. And really, I remember very, very early on, I was told the Beatitudes, you really should think of them not as the Beatitudes, but the beautiful attitudes. The beautiful attitudes of what we should be doing. However, and it's a big however, Jesus well and truly tells it how it should be. And this is one of those passages. In fact, this morning I was talking to our worship leader, Ian, and one of the first words out of his mouth were, "Oh dear, you've got a difficult passage again, haven't you?" But let's have a look at what Jesus is saying here, and let's have a look whether we need to judge or not to judge. Look at this. Are Christians judgmental? A gay couple moves into a new apartment and discovers they are neighbours with three Christian individuals. The first Christian neighbour, after talking with the new couple, regularly avoids eye contact and rushes out of the complex. The second Christian neighbour, while talking with the couple, angrily denounces their lifestyle and draws a relational line in the sand. The third Christian neighbour, while talking with the couple, is pressed about his beliefs and states clearly that he believes homosexual acts are contrary to God's desires and designs. So who is being judgmental here? I'm not going to give you an answer. I'm going to leave you with it for a bit. So we're first going to go into some other areas. We're going to go into a little bit of psychology. We're going to go into a little bit of Old Testament. And then we will go on to some other aspects of the church and then look at the passage itself and what Jesus is actually saying. So let's have a look at psychology first. Psychologists describe the phenomenon of projection, defined as the attribution of one's own ideas, feelings, or attitudes to other people or to objects, especially the externalization of blame, guilt, or responsibility as a defense against anxiety. Unfortunately, we saw a very sad example of this many years ago when the televangelist Jimmy Baker's sexual sins were exposed. Who was one of the loudest critics? Another televangelist, Jimmy Swaggart, who his own sexual sins only a couple of months later were exposed as well. Those who are most critical tend to be those who condemn themselves for the same, very same sins. In condemning others, they are affirming their self-condemnation and self-loathing. But what does the Old Testament say, or what particularly in the time of Jesus? In Judaism, the pain of shaming is considered more bitter than death. This is reflected in the teaching that one should rather fling himself into a fiery furnace than humiliate someone in public. Living with shame and humiliation is viewed as worse than death, for the dead no longer endure the burden of shame. This comes from the Hebrew Talmud, or the Talmud is really a study or a learning. And this is what they believed. This is what they believed in the time of Jesus. This is what they believed, or the Pharisees believed in. And we'll see a little bit more about the Pharisees in a minute. let's have a look at a little bit more of what can be said about judging. Is there such a thing as not judging? We may be taught not to judge a book by its cover, but when we see a new face, our brains decide whether a person is attractive and trustworthy within a tenth of a second. This first impression mechanism is not inherently bad. It's part of our innate survival instinct and ability to identify dangers quickly. You see, in reality, there's no such thing as not judging. We all judge everything, all the time, instantly. It's how we are created. And it's scientifically proven. As the university study suggests, it's a survival instinct built into us. Without it at all, we could end up in all sorts of calamities. But let's have a look now at the church. We've had a little bit of a look at what, in terms of psychology and Old Testament, have said. Let's have a little look at the church. And we find the church is quite hypocritical. The church harbours within itself so much hatred, strife, judgment, enmity, corruption, sexual sin, mental and emotional abuse, pride, injustice, false teachings, and many other evils. And if you don't think so, I have been in some churches before that have actually torn themselves apart from within. Some that have even had gone to court over it, taken their pastors to court over it. We, as Christians, can be very, very critical at times. Hypocritical. I'm very much reminded of how the tendency within the church to judge the world outside, despite the church's own flaws. That's most probably the reason why there's some 40,000 sub-denominations of Christianity. Even within Baptist circles, there's not just one Baptist church. You've got lots of others. Anabaptists, independent Baptists, and on it goes. And that's just some in Australia, let alone once you get to places like America and others. We as a church can be very hypocritical. But look what Paul says in Romans. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same things. Our focuses often lie outside on how, on how evil and messed up the world is. And I love watching SBS News, mainly because it gives me a good wide worldview perspective. I suppose it comes from the fact that I've lived overseas in a couple of different places and worked. And you see just how messed up the world actually is. I will not deny it whatsoever. But secular people don't try to act as if they embody righteousness and holiness within a religion. We do. Let's have a look at what Jesus is saying within these passages. So, verses 1 and 2. Don't judge does not mean don't think. Verses 1 and 2 says, do not be the judge. Do not use your own opinions and thoughts and standards to judge others. You see, because God is the judge. God is the one who decides what is right and wrong, not you. This means you should not use your own ideas to judge others. Some would make the ludicrous claim that Jesus never judged anyone. I say to those people, read your Bible. Jesus does not require us to suspend our critical faculties, but he is warning us not to be quick to criticize, since our judgmental attitude may reflect some of our own sins that we have. Remember that. You're not to be the judge. Look at what else Jesus is saying here about being the judge. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Jesus says that in Matthew 23. You see, this is what, and while ever they don't say it in these words, this is what the outside world sees the church as. And dare I say, in most times, they are right. We have a case to answer. Let's have a look at something else Jesus said here. We tend to go beyond the bounds, often criticizing others beyond human judgment. Sadly, that often happens here within the church. Look at what Luke says. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people. I'm not like robbers, evildoers, or adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, I tell you, this man here, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, what the religious leaders were doing were actually criticizing and condemning others in order to build themselves up. For those who are here, old age is catching up. Maybe a bit late last year, when I gave a message here on the greatest sin of all. Selfishness. Looking at self. It is the greatest sin of all. It was me. That better? We're back on again. Gee, amazing. Selfishness. And this is how we judge. We judge from a selfish attitude. That is the problem. But what should be the attitude of us as a church? What should be the attitude of us as individuals? We should be loving, kind, peaceful, patient, good, understanding, faithful, gentle, wise. All the ones that Paul ended up writing to the Galatians about. I believe many people today, if asked to give one word to describe Christians, would pick judgmental. For many Christians are judgmental. But I think the world would rather see the church very much like these and what should be our attitude. Loving, kind, patient, peaceful, good, etc. Jesus turns a little bit now as we go into verses 3 to 5. And he says, we should not focus on other people's sins while neglecting our own. We should always look to ourselves first. We should always examine ourselves and our own hearts and motivations first. We should not adopt a better-than-thou attitude. As I put there, this means that we do not have to be perfect in order to correct others. There was only one who was perfect. And that's the one who is telling us these words, Jesus. Picture a man, as you see there, the little cartoon. Picture a man with a large plank of timber in his eye. And then picture that man with the big log in his eye, bending down with a little speck in his own eye, bending down to try and take that little speck of sawdust out of the other man's eye. And this is what we do. We have all these sins within us, some of which at times we don't acknowledge. And yet we have all those, and yet we look at someone else with far less and we start to criticize. This is what Jesus is telling us here. Look at ourselves first. Self-examine us first. It's one of the things that we're told when we come to the communion table. And so often we don't do it. When we come to the communion table, we should be examining ourselves first. Before we start to partake of the emblems. Jesus is calling out those who are quick to correct others without correcting themselves. And he says, and his words, you hypocrites. Here's an example of what he was also drawing on apart from the Pharisees. Here's another example of what Jesus was drawing upon from Old Testament, from 2 Samuel 12. A great picture of this is the story of David and Nathan. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, killed her husband, and then married her. In response, Nathan shares with David a story about a servant with one lamb that he loved, and a ruler who had many sheep. When guests came to visit, instead of killing one of his many sheep, the ruler killed his servant's lamb, the one he loved. When David heard this story, he was outraged. He declared, "That man shall surely die." Then Nathan replied, "You are that man." If we criticize others without applying the same standard to ourselves, then we're no better than what that story of David and Nathan are about. You see, this is not a deliberate deception, but a failure to notice your own failings. It is other people, and especially God, who can see the hypocrisy and the self-righteousness that we tend to build up within ourselves. Now we go on to verse 6. And verse 6 is very interesting. Jesus tends to change tack a little bit. Oops, wrong one. He starts to talk about pigs and dogs. This little section within Matthew is peculiar only to Matthew. You see, one of the keys is to understand the view of dogs and pigs in Hebrew culture. Pigs, of course, were considered unclean animals. Jews were forbidden to eat pork of any kind, and only Gentiles raised pigs. Then dogs were scavengers around the town and cities. They weren't generally pets. They might eat the decaying flesh of carcasses in the wild, which would have deeply offended the Jews and particularly their holiness and ritual cleanliness. Dogs are looked down on in verses like Proverbs 26, Matthew 15. The Jews also use the word dogs to refer to Gentile outsiders. So we are called to have a look at and identify who are dogs and who are pigs that Jesus is talking about here. You see, this is not a characterization about a person or people, but it's understanding how we treat the gospel. This is describing the spiritual condition. This is describing how we should treat the gospel. You see, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. Jesus is saying this. Let's put it down into plain, easy on how we how we can understand it. If you have children, don't take your children to the most expensive steakhouse going, particularly young children, mainly because they will not appreciate it. Don't worry, I've tried to take my grandchildren to places like this, and it was not pretty. He's saying, take your children because they'd be much happier if they go to McDonald's rather than going to fine dining. They will not appreciate what they are receiving. They will not appreciate the fine piece of, say, marbling in, Jim will tell you this as well, marbling in beef, particularly in Wagyu cattle, goes from 1 to 10. And the grey to the marbling, the grey to the flavour. The grey to how tender it is. They won't appreciate that. They'll appreciate a cheeseburger or a Big Mac. Not a lovely piece of steak, well cooked. Or as my son, who used to be a chef, used to say, sorry if I offend those who like their steaks really well done, like a piece of meat nailed to a tree in a bushfire, is how he puts it. He used to hate cooking well-done steaks. Anyway, that's an aside. Jesus is instructing his disciples to discern those who reject the gospel outright and not to continue to declare it to them so that it is continually slandered and discredited. Rather, go to those who are receptive and hungry for hope. In essence, you should not force God's word onto anyone if they have no inclination to accept it. God's word is holy. Therefore, why keep throwing God's word at someone if they keep misusing it? This is what he's talking about with pigs and dogs. You have something that is precious to you. God's word should be precious to us. Don't keep trying to force it into people who are only going to throw it back at you, who are only going to basically ridicule you behind your back or even to your face. At some stage, we have to draw the line and go, that's it. We need to move on to someone who is going to be responsive to God's word. Now, that is a difficult decision to make. And it is not one that we can make ourselves. We have to rely on prayer and we have to rely on God for it. But at some stage, we cannot keep taking the holy book and Jesus' words and giving it to someone if only it's going to be kept on, slapped in our face. We have to draw a line somewhere. Don't throw pearls to pigs, in other words. As usual, I don't like to finish off with just leaving you with hanging. I like to send you away with something that you can really hang your hat on and give you, well, basically a challenge. And this is a fairly big one today in order to do that. How the Christian is to judge. First up, stop playing God. When we judge others in a way that we should not judge others, we are hypocrites. Not my words, Jesus' words. When we hold other people to a different standard than we hold ourselves to, we are hypocrites. Look at yourself before you look at others. Think about your sin and your own failing before you comfort another with their shortcomings. First, judge your life by the same judgment you are judging others. Unlike the Pharisees, we must not act holier than thou in the way we deal with other people. We must go into a situation of helping someone else, not with a feeling of superiority, that we're going to feel good out of this. That is the wrong attitude. We are hypocritical if we do that. We are not to go into it holier than thou. Be the first to admit you are wrong and apologize. Do not be hasty to point out other people's faults. So often we can tend to do that. When you have disagreements with others, humbly pray and ask God to show you your own faults and deal with them first. From time to time, ask others to evaluate your character in certain areas. They may be more likely to spot problems that you didn't notice yourself. There are always three sides to a story. Theirs, yours, and God's. Be careful of judging people without all the information, which we so often do. Scripture forbids hasty judgments. In Proverbs, it says, "The one who gives an answer before he listens, that is his folly and his shame." Even in Genesis 3 with Adam, God asked if he had eaten from the forbidden tree, even though God already knew the answer. With Sodom and Gomorrah, God sent angels down to see if the outcry against it was true. He already knew. Stop judging by mere appearance, but instead judge correctly. We see that from John. I now want to go back to this one here, the gay couple and the three Christians. Have a little think about it after hearing. I'll give you 30 seconds to think about who are the judgmental ones here. Of the three Christians that are described here, who are the judgmental ones? Everybody come up with who the one is? I'm not going to tell you. You need to sort that out for yourself. You see, it's between you and God. Look at self first. I'm not going to judge them. You need to work it out between you and God. Look at self first before looking at others. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, so often we go straight into judgmental mode, particularly if we see, for instance, we're down at the shops. And I'm not judging here, Father. We are down at the shops and we see someone, say, full of tattoos. Their face is tattooed, their head is tattooed, everything. We immediately tend to go and judge. As the study shows, within a tenth of a second. And yet so often, our sins are worse than what that person's may be. We judge others according to our standards. When you are telling us here, Jesus is telling us that we need to judge others according to your standards. And that means judging ourselves first, making sure that we are not hypocritical in what we are saying, in what we are doing, in what we are thinking. But looking at self first, judging ourselves by your standard before and right ourselves first, before we can even look at saying anything or acting or even thinking about someone else. Father, help us as we go from here this week, even this very day, help us not to judge others hypocritically. Help us not to judge others by the world's standards, but by your standards and what you would have us do. Father, we can only but rely upon you. And I ask this in and through the wonderful name of your Son who gave us the standard, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.